Thank you, Laura. Really appreciated that. I'd like to also welcome everyone here. I'd like to say hello to all of our guests, all the brethren that are on the webcast. You know, after hearing Mr. Shoemaker's split sermon, the first split sermon, I asked him before services began what he had titled his split sermon. And he titled it, Enduring to the End. Enduring to the End. And as he got, you know, going through his sermon, I started looking at the title of mine. And I thought, well, what better way to title it than Enduring to the End, Part 2. Now, everything works out for the greater purpose. And Forrest, yes, you did take some of my scriptures, but that's a good thing. To begin with, brethren, I'd like to have you turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, and we're going to read verses 27 through 31. Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. Beginning in verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Pretty strong scriptures here. Brethren, we just came through a week, and as we heard on the first day of unleavened bread, a period of self-examination. A period of self-examination. A period of going through our lives with a fine-tooth comb. You know, it does. It takes a lot of energy to evaluate and put the sin out of our lives as much as possible. And as we heard yesterday, the harder we look to get the sin out of our lives, the more we end up finding. It's there. Once we start trying to get rid of it, the more and the harder we try, the more we find. You know, it's a never-ending process. It's something that doesn't end at sunset last night. This process, it can leave us weak and drained, but we can never give in. We can never let down on our studies and the examination of ourselves. Remember, we must be committed to fixing what we know needs to be fixed and gain a better understanding of what needs fixed in our lives. These are things that we've heard within the last week. You know, there are always those times when it seems that Satan is getting the best of us. Sometimes it's a little hard to maintain our faith and trust in God when everything is going against us. And we're in the middle of one of the greatest battles in our life. In those times, brethren, in those times that our faith and trust in God is really put to the test, this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. You know, it's easy to live for God and trust in Him when all is going well. But it's not so easy to do so when the weight of the whole world is on our shoulders. You know, too many times Christians bail out on God just as soon as the storm gets rough. And that's when we need Him the most. You know, if our life is in the middle of turmoil and the waves of temptation are about to swamp us, we must always put our faith, our trust in God, for that's the moment that He is really putting our faith to the test to see if we will pass or will fail. That's the moment when our trust is built. That's the moment that our relationship with God will really show its true depth. As an example here, an illustration, some of you may have heard this, but some may not. Have you ever heard about the Gatorade that was given to enlisted men in Florida training during World War II? Just a little bit of information here. The daily training for those GIs included a run through an obstacle course. On the final stretch of that obstacle course and of the endurance test, they had to grab a rope. They had to grab a rope and swing across a broad, shallow pool. Now think, Florida, sun, heat, hot, running, backpacks, you're hot, you're sweaty, you're looking for something to cool you down. Well, under the blazing southern sun, the water looked so inviting to the men that most of them soon developed a habit. They developed a habit of making it only halfway across the pond, that is, until an enterprising young lieutenant made it a new home for a large alligator. From that day on, the recruits left the ground about 15 feet before the pond. They made it across the pond and fell sprawling in the dust about 15 feet on the other side of the pond. Well, likewise, brethren, our behavior as Christians must sometimes be shaped by the encouragement of the danger of unfavorable circumstances. Without God's loving correction and faithful discipline, we would never develop spiritual strength and endurance. Brethren, we're going to be tested. We always will be tested. If God the Father didn't permit threatening conditions to come, you know, into our lives, we'd soon yield to feelings of self-sufficiency and overconfidence. You know, we must never forget that God has promised us that we would never be tempted. We would never be tempted above what we're able to bear. But with every temptation, every trial, every test, every trouble, God makes a way of escape for each and every one of us. He makes a way of escape so that we can win the victory. Brethren, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It states, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can endure it." Brethren, God promises to be there for us. He promised to be there with us and provide that way of escape. You know, God never promised that we wouldn't have hard times. He never promised that we would sail through life without troubles. What He did promise is that He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He promised that He would supply our every need. And He does. You just have to have faith. Psalms 55 and verse 22. Psalms 55 and verse 22. Let's go ahead and turn there. Psalms 55, verse 22. Psalms 55 and verse 22 states, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Brethren, Israel had become discouraged, so God had to remind them of just who He is. And God is still in control, and those who would place their trust in Him would be rewarded, and they'll be rewarded in their strength. I don't know about you, but you know, there are many times when, you know, my strength fails. And every one of us has that. It's just part of life. And many of us face this because, you know, we continually pray for strength. We continually pray for strength to stand for God. And there's nothing wrong with praying for strength. In fact, it's the best thing that we can do. It's the best thing that we can do. But if we really want more strength, God's already laid down the pattern for us to get stronger. The first thing that we must realize is we must realize who God is and what He's doing for us right now. To us, the trials that we face, and we may be facing a trial right now. If we're facing a trial, it's very personal, and it seems that no one else can relate or understand. But we have to realize that the multitudes of people have faced and are facing the same situations that we are. Our circumstances are no surprise to God. He knew what was coming, and He already has an answer for every one of them. Christ has and God has an answer for every one of the trials that we have faced, that we are facing, and that we will face in the future. God is God, and He's all-powered. He's all-powerful. There's no limit to His ability. There's no limit to His ability to meet our needs. There's no limit to His deliverance and provision for whatever we need. That is something that we need to realize and have faith in. You know, God never gets tired. He never grows weary. And He's always listening. God is always listening for our prayers. He's listening for the prayers of His children so that He can rush to their aid. And that's comforting. It's comforting to know. So what will we do with the trials that we face? Will we turn to our own devices? Will we turn to our own devices and make the decisions that will cause us to have less time for God, less time for the church, or even for our families? Will we forget the Word of God and become depressed because we don't have the faith that everything will really, you know, do as Paul said it would in Romans 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28. Let's go ahead and turn there. Romans 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Will we abandon our promises made in the moments of triumph? Will we forget our commitment to God that were made when all things are going well? Will we forget the times in the past that God has brought us through some rough times? Will we forget the blessings, the healings, the miracles, and every good thing that God has done for us? Will we overlook the fact that God has always been and will always be faithful to His promises in the Word of God? What will we do now that things aren't perfect? It's during this time we must stop looking like it's the end of the world. Lift our hearts, lift our eyes to God, and know that God is where our help comes from. Brethren, we must, at these point in times in our life, we must get down on our knees, we must pray, we must fast and Bible study. We must study the Bible. God will not allow us to fail. He will not allow us to fail if we keep our trust and faith in Him. And that's the key. We need to keep our trust and our faith in Him. So now the test is on. The question is not one of survival, but whether we pass or fail. Whether we pass or fail. If we pass, our faith and trust will grow stronger. Our faith and our trust will grow stronger. If we fail, we will abandon the ways of righteousness, turn our back on God, and put everything in our life in jeopardy. Or we will face the similar trials down the road until we learn the lesson of faith and trust. Brethren, the choice to fail or pass is ours. It's ours alone. And God won't force us. He will not force our decision one way or another, because He wants us to learn and to grow in Him. And God will deal with our decision as a loving Father. As a loving Father and not as a dictator. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. You know, I wish I could say that I understand why God lets things happen. No one, I think, really knows exactly why things happen. I wish I could, but I can't. You know, His ways are far above our understanding, far above our ability. You know, I can only put my trust, and we can only put our trust in Him with the faith to know that somehow God will take care of us, as God takes care of everything. God knows how to give us power to overcome. He will take our weakness, our failures, our doubt, and our fears, and He'll turn them into miracles of deliverance. In fact, God often does. I mean, He often does not move until we have given it over to Him completely, because He will not share the glory of our deliverance with us. It's all of Him or none of Him. God is our source. God is our strength. God is the source of provision. He's the source of power. God is the source of everything. God is the source of everything that we need. We can't do anything without Him. And that's something that we need to realize. Everything that we do, we have to do through Christ, through God the Father. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know, we may have pride ourselves in the ability to take care of ourselves. A lot of times here in America, you know, we have such a pride in our freedom and independence that we hate having to admit that we need help from anyone, including God. But we do. And Mr. Shoemaker read this scripture earlier, but 1 Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is a really key scripture. You know, out at Camp Pinecrest, in the cafeteria, they've got scriptures all around on different ornaments. But right before you go through the line, there's a plate, a really nice looking plate, and it has this scripture. And every time we go through breakfast, lunch, or dinner, always look at that because it's so true. You know, God does strengthen us, and we can do anything as long as we look to God. You know, God often has to bring us to the place where we have to stop trying, turn to Him and say, God, it's all I can do. That's all I can do. It's up to you. God is waiting for those words, but they aren't often said until we've exhausted our own ideas, with no results. You know, the longer I live, the more I realize that everything is in God's hands. Everything. When I was younger, a lot of times you would have problems. You'd try to think of ways to correct them yourselves. But I didn't have the ability. Now, after years of, you can say, trials, tests, troubles, I'm finally beginning to get the real glimpse of what living by faith really means. Faith says that everything will work out when it seems that nothing is crumbling around me. Faith says that my bills will be paid when I can't see how they will in a natural sense. Faith says that God will take care of me and that I must force myself to stop being overly concerned with the future. Faith says that I know that somehow God will work it out, will work it all out, and that when He does, I will be greatly blessed. I will be greatly blessed for having faced all that is happening right now. We read this earlier, but let's look again at Isaiah 40. We'll read verse 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Brethren, this scripture has been read many times, and we've probably all read it many times. You know, we quote it, we read it, but do we really believe it? And in times of troubles, do we really believe it? Waiting on God requires true faith. Waiting on God requires going through the fire sometimes and still trusting that God will bring us through. Waiting on God requires that we believe in the impossible. That we believe the impossible. Look for the unseen answers. Hope in the times of hopelessness. And know, without knowing how or why, that God will take care of us. You know, baby eaglets in their nest can do nothing but wait until the mother eagle returns to the nest to bring them the necessary food, drink, or whatever is needed to keep her eaglets alive. Brethren, we must also stay in that nest. We must also stay in that nest of God's house. Trust in the fact that He will bring us what we need. And then accept and digest that, what comes, because we know it's for our own good. Baby eaglets act as if they have no hope when they're on their own. Do we at times act that same way? Do we act as though we have no hope? You might ask yourself, where's the faith in this kind of reaction? How can we say that we trust in our Almighty God to meet every need and then act as if we have no hope? The reason so many Christians fail the fiery tests of their faith is that too many are bankrupt spiritually when the trials come, and so we have no faith and trust in God in our spiritual account to draw from. You know, we haven't spent the time preparing, saving up our blessings for the rainy day. The rainy day of trials to come. We haven't spent time studying. We haven't spent time praying and fasting also. Have we gone about our daily lives as though there were never going to be times of trouble coming, when we know that there are surely times coming around the corner? You know, God won't let us stay on the mountaintop for long, because it's down in the valley that our faith and strength will grow. And as I was studying this, there was a song, and I will not sing it, but there is a song that says, "The God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. The God of the good times is still the God of the bad times. The God of the day is still the God of night." That's the God that we serve. That's who we serve, brethren. Let's look at Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." God is there for us. He's waiting. Some of us, if not all of us, are facing some great battles and trials at this time. It's testing time. It's testing time. And we're taking our final exams. You know, God has blessed, and now it's time to see if we'll trust Him or not. Here's another illustration, going back to the eagles. Though many of us have seen pictures of huge eagle nests, that you normally see those, they're high in branches of a tree, or on the edge of a cliff. Few of us have ever really gotten a chance to glimpse down inside an eagle's nest. When a mother eagle builds her nest, she starts with thorns. She starts with thorns, broken branches, sharp rocks, and a number of other things that seem, you know, entirely unsuitable for this project. But then she lines the nest with a thick padding of wool, feathers, and fur from animals that she's killed, making it a soft, comfortable nest. And the luxury of free meals make the young eaglets reluctant to leave. Brethren, that's when the mother eagle begins pulling the thick carpet, the thick carpet of fur and feathers, bringing those sharp rocks, thorns, and branches to the surface. As more of the bedding gets plucked up, the nest becomes more uncomfortable. Becomes more uncomfortable for the baby eagles. Eventually, this and other urgings prompt the growing eagles to leave their once comfortable abode and move to more mature behavior. Well, just as that mother eagle never forgets to come back to her nest, Christ will never forget us either. As that mother eagle is always out gathering and preparing a way for her little eaglets, so is Christ. So is Christ, our elder brother, gathering, preparing, and protecting his sheep. Just as the mother eagle stirs the nest to force her eaglets to grow up, Christ also has to stir us up, mess up our little house, if you will, and make us uncomfortable enough to mature and be more like him. If we're facing great trials and tests right now, then we must lift our prayers. Look to Christ, because our answer is already on the way. We can't allow Satan to destroy our victory. Don't allow him to convince you or us that it's all lost. Don't listen to his deceiving, lying voice. Rather, listen to the voice of God, to the voice of Christ, the Word of God, for our redemption is closer than we think. No, it won't be long. It won't be long, and we even have a song that talks about it. It won't be long, and all the troubles will be left behind us. Something really inspiring and something to look forward to, especially during this time of the year. We will see the King in all his glory. We'll be like him, and we'll be with him in the kingdom. You know what a wonderful day that's going to be. What a wonderful day it will be when we see Christ, when we look upon his face and behold his grace. But until then, we must continue praying. Until then, with grace, we'll carry on. Until the day that our eyes behold our Savior, we will put our faith and trust in him, and he won't let us fail. Put our faith, our trust in him, and he will let our spirit soar above the world. He'll lift our spirit upon eagle's wings, and we will be strengthened for the journey ahead. Only by patient waiting, placing our wholehearted faith in Christ, and trusting in him totally, will we have our strength renewed. God has it all under control. God knows what the answers are. He's there for us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. If we are children of the Most High God, then look, for your Father sees your need, and your answer is already on the way. Brethren, we've been through a week of unleavened bread, putting sin out of our lives. Now it's time to renew our strength and look forward to Pentecost.